drunk. Yep, right.
I got drunk on Benadryl. I laid on the couch. We hadn't even eaten yet. So I laid on the couch because I started getting sleepy, which is weird because Benadryl usually doesn't affect me. But I think because it was the liquid kids Benadryl, it went straight to my bloodstream. And I was on the couch practically drooling and fell asleep, and my wife came in there. She's like, "Are you going to eat with us?" I'm like, "No, I'm good." So, yeah, I pretty much was drunk.
Family get together will do to you.
It's a running theme that I'm going to pass out on Easter from Benadryl. So I told them that we're going to... I told him we should lace the pies with some Benadryl for the kids every now and then.
Lord, trying to drug the kids now.
Last year I told them I was going to bring my own Benadryl. I had sent a meme with this guy basically drinking Benadryl, and I told him I was going to bring my own Benadryl this year. Because my mom didn't have any more, so it was hilarious. But no, every now and then it just could take something, and it just so happened that was the Easter, and I was out of it. My wife ended up having to drive us home. That's how out of it I was.
What Benadryl did you take?
Well, you have to understand that I couldn't breathe. I was freaking out, like, a little bit, but not a lot. But definitely, like, my throat was closed up. So I drank some, and I didn't feel like it was kicking in. So, so I went back, and I swigged it, you know, because it was a little baby, baby liquid. So I didn't even pour it out. I just swigged it, and that's all I remember.
Daniel was the poster child for "Don't try this."
Pretty much, yeah. So there's a picture, but pretty much all the kids were jumping on top of me, and I was dead asleep. Like, they were hitting me with things. All the little kids were like jumping on my back. And they were beating me up and hitting me with, like, toys and stuff. And I barely remember any of it. But it was pretty funny.
At the show.
Easter dinner. So Bree ended up having to fix me a to-go plate to bring home so I could eat it. And I ended up having an Easter dinner probably about 9, 10 o'clock at night. And for some reason, I couldn't sleep the rest of the night. But it was still good. So that's pretty much the joke of the family now, that Easter is when I get drunk on Benadryl. But, yeah. So you should have been there for that.
For HKX, trust me. Being drunk on a holiday around my family that's pretty mild.
DTY. Yeah. Well, I've never been drunk, so. But I guess knocked out on Benadryl, I have been. So, it was funny. It was different. It was so weird that that the ham got to me like that, because it usually does not bother me, but. I don't know. But what else you been up to?
Business meeting this morning, so I had to go deal with that or sit in front of a computer. And then now they want to know if the next one we want to do it in person. But we got to drive all the way to the lower side of Columbia, and there's not going to be any product there to bring back, so what's the point in going to the meeting in person if there's not going to be anything there that I can bring home with me?
The meeting part, is it, so it's just like a Matco meeting with, like, still just the local people, or actually with headquarters?
District, we do it every 6 weeks. For the last 2 years, we've been doing them on the computer and haven't been able to get together. Well, this next month, they're wanting to know if we want to get together, but then there's no product to bring home like there used to be. So, I don't know. And then they told us today that back orders for a lot of stuff is just getting worse. So, who knows what's going on.
KI4DTY. Yeah, be like, I'm not coming up. Zoom call me in.
I mean, it takes me 3 hours to get down to the lower side of Columbia from here and to the meeting where we normally have it. And then to drive down there for nothing other than to see everybody, and I can do that on a computer with a Zoom class or Teams is what we're using.
Using a Team Viewer, I think is what it's called, or maybe it changed to Teams. Yeah, but you're already meeting with all your local people anyways, every Thursday, right?
Thursday, just me and one other guy get together. We do the group the upstate once a month.
Other people once a month, you mean? Like more than just you and the other guy?
Jason and I get together on Thursday, and then the rest of us, eight of us, we get together on the first Tuesday of the month. There's 10 of us in the upstate, but usually only eight of us come.
So you have a group of guys that you can talk to at least about your part of the industry and kind of compare notes, I guess.
And we pass a lot of product back and forth. So, I mean, we try to help each other out any way we can.
Are you going to go to any Ham Fest this year?
But I keep forgetting to check and see when they are close by. And I hadn't made it to any of them yet.
I guess you can find them on ARRL.
You can find them on there, but like I said, I keep forgetting to look.
What do you think you may go to, let me know. If you want to do a ride-along, I'll do a ride-along.
Be glad to let you know. I'm sure the wife will too, that way she don't have to come.
Well, I don't want to intrude, so if she wants to go, she should go.
Good sport about it. She goes with me when I don't have anybody else to go with me, but it's not her favorite thing to do, let's put it that way.
Understand that, but no, I'd be cool. I mean, I know most of the times it's on Saturdays, which is sometimes harder for me, but I'd still definitely be game if there's one or two that you know you're going to. Maybe I can do a ride along, and I've never been to a Ham Fest. That'd be cool to go to.
The two, I went to Shelby last year, and then I went to one in, I believe it was Anderson, in 20 when they had it. I was surprised because it was during COVID, so surprised they had it, but they did.
Good stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to go through, and it's a lot of older stuff, a lot of newer stuff. I mean, just it really takes time to sit and look through it all because it's a lot of stuff. A lot of it.
Through bins of stuff, or is it pretty much people have everything laid out?
No, they have it laid out on tables or on tarps so you can see it. I mean, it's pretty well organized. I mean, you're not just sitting there digging through bins of stuff, no.
Well, I think that'd be fun to go to at least once, but I think I would enjoy it, so. Yeah, definitely keep me posted, but I wouldn't want to interrupt you and your wife, but if you don't have anybody go with you, let me know.
She'll give up her ride.
Very sweet of her. Have you done anything else to your antenna?
No, I have not.
Bring it back down, and did you order that extender?
Ordered it yet. I haven't found what I'm looking for.
as easy as putting it on like almost like a heavy duty PVC pipe to extend it out?
Could, but I don't know how you'd mount it to the mast with that.
But could we rotate that U-bolt that's on the antenna now?
The U-bolt to work, no problem. It's just getting the right offset or standoff, whatever they're called. I'm not sure.
Think about it, but I'm pretty sure that we could probably just take a couple pieces of, like I said, like more of that heavy-duty PVC pipe, and we could just extend it out. But obviously, if you got a kid, I mean, it's gonna work probably better, or go together easier. Probably be about the same.
Like I said, it's all new to me. I'm trying to figure it all out, so I'm not 100% on it.
Do you know how far out from the main mast it has to be?
Wavelength would be 3 feet, so somewhere in that neighborhood is what I'm guessing, but I'm not 100%.
That's a nice little chunk of distance, but I guess that's the only part I don't understand from my mind, but that's because I don't understand antennas like that, why you had to go out that far, but you would know, because I know you've been doing the research and I haven't.
I'm not sure either, and I don't know what to say. Where the pole is conductive, it's aluminum is what is the big problem, but I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it all out.
Well, I tried that. I got that Yagi antenna from Chad that we had built, me and him, and he had finished it because I had a meeting that, so I had to leave, so he finished it. I put it on a little HT today, and it worked pretty good.
Sent that picture of...
he sent tonight?
Yes.
No, that was something different. That was, I'll have to explain that later, but no, that was to do something totally different. I'll send you a picture of what we built. But no, it's a 3-element Yagi antenna. And it actually came out pretty nice. I think that he said that he measured it again, and he got the SWR down to 1.2. I felt like I could use it for if I ever go on a camping trip, I could take that with me and point it at Caesar's head or something and get a pretty good signal on it with that. But yeah, I took it outside today just to try it. I may build one more of it, this little Yagi, that I'll go ahead and put up on the house itself, just to point that straight at Caesar's head just for this repeater.
That would work pretty good for you.
You must hit the repeater with 5 watts if I wanted to from the house, KI4DTY.
Is that okay? Hey, Chad. Hi, Chad. Patrick, sorry. Is this a private party?
Nope, Shane, go ahead. Join in.
Patrick, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today, Shane?
It's been a long day, but I can't sleep, and I need a distraction, so I came back to my office here.
Help bore you to sleep.
Yeah, we'll help bore you to sleep with some of our stories.
Morning. I talked to Dave this morning, W4DJW. Not that he's boring. I didn't realize that you could access all the recordings of the repeater, so I found it, and I went on to listen to how my signal sounded. Boy, I'm pretty boring. I need to do something. I need to change my, put some inflection in my voice or something. I'm about to put myself to sleep just listening to myself.
Man, than me, I don't think I could go back and listen to my recordings.
It wasn't as bad as I thought. my signal sounded pretty good. I was like, man, I'm pretty monotone when I speak. I really need to raise my voice up and down a little bit more like Steve does. Get a little more inflection in. Go ahead, Patrick.
Need to get that wild and crazy now. You are driving down the highway while you're doing
this. But I'm sitting here now, so. You remember a couple of nets ago, Wednesday night nets, that guy, we heard that guy come in and say change frequencies. Remember I mentioned something about that?
You got some more information on that one?
I found the recording, because I knew I had chimed in on the rag tube. And I heard it very clearly, and he said, Carl, go to 146.220. And then after that, it went silent for a while.
Maybe that's the first name of the buffoon that's causing all the problems.
And I'd never heard that guy's voice before. You know how it is. You get to know just about everybody, and I've never heard his voice before. Anyway, it's on the recordings. I know where to find it if anybody's interested, but just thought I'd throw that out there. Go ahead, Daniel.
There was the recordings. I actually would be interested in hearing that one, so if you could let me know which recording that was, that'd be super helpful to me.
Give the date and the time. Give me a second here. You two carry on, and I'm going to make sure I'm on the right one.
Is that
okay?
There. I just pulled up the ARL's website here for the Hamfest, and there are quite a few of them going on. None of them extremely close, though. There's one in Knoxville in June the 18th, and then one in Atlanta on the 4th.
For Atlanta?
Yes, sir.
Any chance I may could make that June 4th work if you wanted to do that. Since in Atlanta, I mean, I hate driving through Atlanta, but it's still probably only, well, 3 hours for me, so I guess 4 for you.
Yeah, it's not all the way in Atlanta, so that is a plus. But we can figure out some more details if it's something you want to try to go to. I think that's that morning of my next meeting, but I can do it over the phone as we're driving down.
Not to throw you off, so I mean, it's not a big thing. I was just saying it'd be fun to go to since I've never been, but it's not a must.
Trust me, it won't throw me off. You'll get the pleasure of listening to what I have to listen to on every 6 weeks. I can just do it over the phone. It's no big deal. We're driving down. It usually takes about an hour, and usually starts at 7:30 in the morning, so it'd be over long before we got there.
And for that, okay.
Well, I penciled it in, and we'll just come back around and maybe, let's see, a week or two before we can follow up and see if it's going to work still for both of us.
You there, Shane. Also look at the Waynesville Hamfest, which is July 23rd, and it's in Waynesville, North Carolina, not too far away from us.
On a job in Hilton Head on the 23rd.
June, July.
That is a roger. Yeah, July 20th through the 24th, that will be taking care of that.
Go ahead, Shane.
You know, I've got the date and time stamp if you want.
You go.
13th of April, 4/13/2022, and it's the second recording from the top. 22:16 is when it starts. And scroll all the way to 49 minutes, and it actually starts a few seconds before 49 minutes, but that's where it is. Over.
I have April 13th, and second recording down, roughly 22:16, up to 49 minutes.
Yes, they each have a timestamp, so before you click on them to play them, and it says 22:16, the second one down, and then once you get the little box to play it, scroll it to 49 minutes.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that information. That helps me a lot because I was wanting to hear that so I could reference it.
I remember that I had gotten on, and I'm actually on the first one. In case you want to hear me again, I'm just kidding. And that when it came through, I was like, oh, that's that. That's what I was. I knew I'd heard something different. That's what I'd mentioned to Patrick.
Somebody telling me that, I just wasn't sure where it was in reference to the recording, so I wasn't sure where to pull it up at. I think maybe Patrick was telling me about it.
I was just going to say, I think I told you about it, but I can't remember 100% if I was the one that mentioned it to you.
I'm pretty sure it was you, because I was out hunting, so I was in my own world at that time, trying to deal with everything.
Did you, Patrick, when I heard it?
You were working that night, so you were driving still.
Late in the middle of the net, and I'd gotten back in here right before that happened, I believe, so I was home at the time.
You work today, Shane?
My wife, we had an appointment downtown. She needed to see a doctor or something. And then we went out to lunch with this couple that I met him through work, and we just kind of hit it off. So we thought we'd go out to lunch. And then, let's see, dealing with some family issues, siblings of mine, a sibling of mine, just and having to talk to my mother and stuff, and it's just been a long evening, so I'm can't sleep right now.
I get that. I couldn't remember because I thought sometimes you worked Saturdays. I knew you said you had Sunday, Mondays off.
If Saturdays right now is during our peak season, Christmas, but the rest of the year it's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and they have called me on Monday. They've actually called me on Sundays before to, you know, run up to Greensboro or something if there's an emergency.
Man. Well, I'm sorry to hear about the family stuff. I've been there, done that, so that's never a fun situation.
I appreciate that. I won't go into detail on the radio. I don't mind talking a little bit about it, but I'm not going to do it on the radio. I think Patrick knows a little bit, but it's been a long few years, and some things have come to partial conclusions, I guess. So, but it's still difficult. And for ZLK,
we talked about that a little bit when we met for lunch that day, and hopefully it's coming to a conclusion in a good way for you. But I'm not sure. We won't get into it on the radio.
Daniel, I did see Brad Eisenhower in passing. I was leaving the building. He was pulling in. Just an FYI. And yeah, thanks, Patrick.
He's been doing a lot with bicycling. He's been doing bicycling all over the place. But were you able to talk to him? How's he doing?
Going out for one of my last pickups, and he was coming in. We passed on the road and kind of waved at each other. The last time I did talk, he seems to be doing fine. Yeah, I've seen there's several guys that have gotten together, and they kind of ride every weekend just about. They put it, and they must ride 30, 40, 50 miles on a Saturday or Sunday or something. More power to them.
For this fat little chubby man, but I more power to him. And I think you are right. It's like 30, 50 miles every weekend.
Any heartbeats in life, I don't want to waste them too early. And for ZLK.
Anyway, go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, I'm with Shane. There's only so many heartbeats. I don't want to rush them.
Bicycle ride and feel like my life's ending, which is how I would feel.
For you. But you have to work into it, and I'm not ready to start that. We walk, and you know, we've got hills in our neighborhood, and it winds me. You know, I push it. Sometimes I run up the hills or jog, not necessarily run. You know, when you see an old man running, it's not really running. He's just fast moving, fast walking.
Oh.
I'll go bicycling with my boys every now and then. I have three teenagers now, I guess. But we'll bicycle around the neighborhood, but that's about the extent of what I can do.
Those bikes and all the clothing and gear they wear and stuff, I can get into some money there.
The bikes can get around $3,000
$5,000. The net.
A friend of mine who bicycled some, another guy I knew, and he was selling his bike, and I think he was selling it used for like $3,500.
About as much as you want, including on up to the price of a pretty fairly new used car.
I'm not aware that it was that pricey, but that is insane.
The money they're spending on a bicycle, they better have a motor on it.
He's a professor at a school in or a college in Georgia, and he does a lot of bike riding. He was by himself there in the northwest corner of Georgia in the mountainous area, and he woke up in the hospital. They found him on the side of the road. He has no memory of what happened. He spent about 3 months in the hospital and then six months to a year recuperating, trying to get back before he ever was able to go back to work.
And he doesn't remember what happened?
Yeah. I mean, they know he was by himself, and they, you know, he fell somehow, hit his head, even wearing a helmet. He was gashed up pretty good. He has no idea what happened, you know. He just knows that they found him and he woke up in the hospital.
Yeah, that's intense.
Don't happen more often up here where I'm at with all these bicyclers around and careless attitude they have.
Not want to follow the rules of the road, don't they? And when they get in packs, they don't care how many vehicles are behind them. They say it's our right to be on the road, but then they don't want to follow the rules of the road when they come to following traffic signs and street lights or, you know, traffic signals, all that kind of thing.
Quick story about that one. You know the red light there in TR across the where 25 goes down right there at George Coleman? And I was coming from Carolina Foods side there, getting ready to turn right onto 25 heading north. This lady on a bicycle come by me on the right-hand side. I'm sitting in the right-hand turn lane. She come by me on the right-hand side and run the red light and went straight across that four-lane road.
She did not get hit?
Cars blowing their horns and braking and carrying on, but she just right on, like she's the only person in the world.
And within the last few days, I thought I heard you mention it.
It's Wednesday evening.
You know, three lanes of traffic at a red light, and they'll just ride up between what they call lane splitting out there in California on motorcycles. They'll do it on cars and then just move in front of one of them or just go through the intersection.
Down going into downtown Greenville, it used to be two lane, and they turned it into a single lane with a bike. And there used to be bikes on that road all the time. And then as soon as they put that bike lane, I've never seen a bike on the road anymore.
I'm fine with you riding a bike. I don't know. Just cars are out there too, and they need to. I think they should take preference on those main roads.
Total agreement. I'll do events and weddings out there near Hotel Domestique, which is a big bike riding area. And I tell you what, sometimes it'll take me forever to get out there if I have a shoot.
You know, where we live is a cut through. When they have big bike rides, either the one that comes down 178 goes back up Caesar's Head, or it'll come out 288 and then up Caesar's up one. Or behind 11, you know, Table Rock area there. We see them all the time, and especially on weekends. It's hard when you got somewhere to go and you don't know they're coming.
I live on the other end of that up here at DuPont State Forest where they're starting.
DTY. Yeah, Patrick, I was about to say, you probably get quite a few bike riders up there.
These little narrow, curvy mountain roads where there's no shoulder. I'm sorry, but that's just crazy in my opinion.
Okay, I rode a lot when I was a kid. And it was on now roads now that I drive on occasionally out Piedmont way there, but wasn't near the traffic. And, you know, I knew to stay to the right and cars would just pass me. But, man, the traffic is not set up for bikes anymore.
Oh, and that, and like you were saying before, Shane, it's like it's nobody's obeying the rules anymore. It'd be fine if they obeyed the rules while they were on the main roads like that and let cars pass them and everything else. But I tell you why, I was behind this bicycler and he was in the middle of the road. He just literally refused to move over.
Not all that way. And, you know, it's like car drivers. The few give everyone else a bad name. It works both ways. And so I'm not going to begrudge them, but it seems like it's always inconvenient. How about that? And it just makes for a bad taste in the mouth. Wake Patrick up, Daniel.
I was about to say, I haven't heard him comment. I think he dozed off. More reflection, Shane.
Well, I'm here. I was trying to put that date into my calendar so I wouldn't forget it.
Get myself to sleep, too. Let me try a little bit different here, see what I can do.
You gotta start talking like Steve. All right, roger, roger that.
Wake him up.
I was about to ask Steve or Patrick.
I had me a nice little nap today, so I'm good.
Naps. Every now and then. Actually, I think Easter Sunday, actually, finally got one. That was nice. But, yeah, we'll have to wake Steve up, Shane.
He's not listening, or he'd be on here already. And Patrick, I think we might be up your way tomorrow. Visit my daughter's church again. Or can't stay too long. Can't hang around. I got neighbor and I are going to be doing something around this tomorrow afternoon. But we should be up that way if I ever get to sleep and things go well.
We got to run to Hendersonville tomorrow, so we'll be over that way. Give us a shout if you get around. Oh, get a minute.
Boylston Highway is, I probably told you this before, right? You know where Boylston Highway is? That is a little convention center, 8800 block or so.
Boylston Highway is, and you're talking about, I believe, right there across from the BP station?
It's like halfway between, I mean, it's a good drive from 26, and it's a good drive from Brevard, so it's kind of in the middle. We cut through DuPont State Park and come out not too far away.
By DuPont State Park, you're coming right by my house. About 8:30.
Too early. We won't be there then. Yeah, I know. We go through. I've seen the sign for Penrose, and I'm pretty sure I'm seeing the repeater tower from back there.
Not. That's probably the Fox 21 tower you're seeing. That's not the repeater tower.
I wasn't sure. All right, well, I was thinking, why does Patrick have such a hard time hitting it? But that would explain it.
Ridge Mountain there on that tower. The Caesar's Head is from that tower in my house. I am, that Fox 21 is to my right, and Caesar's Head is southeast on me, direction.
Yeah. Well, that would explain it then. I mean, because that tower you can see pretty well. For some reason, I just thought that's what it was. I didn't realize there Fox 21 had theirs up there as well.
And if you didn't come down by DuPont, if you went on into town on 276, you'll actually drive right by Ridge Mountain Road that goes out through that repeater. There's actually a 70-centimeter repeater on that tower.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah, we've gone both ways. Well, back during the wintertime after that snow, I turned up that way to go through the park, and they had it, DuPont, and they had the road closed off. I just didn't even think about it being icy. But yeah, that would make sense, that big shady hill going down the other side.
Well, hill, it gets slick in the wintertime. You got to be careful on it.
I'm going to go back to your Brevard. N4ZLK. Go ahead, Daniel.
GY. I actually need to step out, guys, so you go ahead and y'all keep talking. Shane, I hope you get some sleep tonight. It's still early, but I hope you're able to get some sleep. And I'll say 7-3s if I hear you guys on, I'll jump back. But anyways, I'll say goodnight.
And I guess I was boring you to sleep, too. Good to hear you tonight. N4ZLK. Go ahead, Patrick.
Daniel, good to talk to you this evening, and look forward to getting together with you again, KO4HKX, and I'll be around for a little while, Shane.
I'm going to sign out. If you need to go, it's fine. I've got the HF rig here I was going to play around. Australia was coming in really strong this morning. I heard it way down in the noise. But this morning, it was like a 5-9 signal coming through.
For a little bit before we got on here.
Your HF antenna hook back up?
I do.
80 meters yet. I've got a dipole in the shed. I can get out. That antenna that Gary built, that in-fed dipole, or half-wave in-fed, he sent me the plans, and I'm really considering that one. And then I've got a vertical that is 10 through 40. So if I want 80, I've either got to put the dipole up or do that one that Gary put up. So I'm not sure yet. But I have the other bands, and they do really well.
That's good. I have the other bands, too. I can do 160 through 10. About the only thing I can't do right now is 6 meters.
You were going to tell me what kind of antenna you have. I'm curious, what is it, a name brand, or is it something you built?
I bought it off of Amazon. It's the Chameleon MCOM 2, I believe it is. I bought it off there because at the time I didn't know anybody and I was just trying to listen, so I could try to figure this out a little bit. And so I just bought it because it had the widest range of reception.
Chameleon MCOM 2?
Roger that.
Is it?
20 feet, I believe it is.
I'm pulling it up on the internet right now, seeing. Okay, it came up, so I'll take a look at it. Have you had good luck with it?
Works pretty good for me. Everything like northwest, the mountains block off the southwest for me, so I don't get much that way, or southeast, sorry, get turned around up here. But I can whisper tested it, and I've made it over into Egypt and places like that on FT8 and all that stuff on the digital mode, but I've not tried any voice really with it.
The antenna I've got, I picked it up my son-in-law Connor. He has a friend, a lady that he used to work with at North Greenville University. Her dad was a big ham radio operator, and she was getting rid of stuff. And it was wrapped up. I can't remember. It's like HF Buddy or something. It's just a wire antenna. It's got twin lead coming off of it, and then coax, just the thin coax, you know, like what you'd use for a VHF or UHF. It's all connected, already pre-built, and It doesn't. You need a tuner for 10 through 10, 12, 15 and 17. I contacted North Africa on 12 with it. It tunes perfectly on 20. I don't even need a tuner with it, all across the band. And then 40, it tunes pretty well by itself. I was talking on it the other day, and there was these islands on the other side of Greenland. I made a contact with them, and then made a contact with Calgary, and then Puerto Rico. It was like every direction was just coming in really well.
Some days it does that, and some days it's just like you can't hear anything. But I was just reading about the antenna. It says it does 6 meter through 160, but if you read the frequency range on it, it only goes down to 54 megahertz, which is the upper end of 6 meters.
The tuner, I guess you could probably make it work. This one does 6 meters too, I forgot. And I actually put a analyzer on it just out of curiosity, and I just went through the whole range of the analyzer, and it tunes up 1-to-1 about 146 megahertz. I actually checked into the net the other night with it, and it's horizontally polarized, but I'm so close to the repeater, it didn't matter.
Horizontally polarized, then you can do some 2 meter single sideband if you're on your Yaesu radio.
About that. It'll tune. Well, I don't know the tuner won't work through that. It might be a little high on the lower part, but it was 1-to-1 on this frequency in the 146 range. So, yeah, I thought about that. Haven't heard anything yet. I've played around with it a little bit, just listening.
Andrew's got into it. He's got into it hot and heavy. He bought him a beam, and he's got it horizontally oriented, and he made a contact down into Alabama, which was 285, something like that, miles from his house on 2 meter single sideband. So it really gets out there.
I mean, I've heard stories. It would be interesting. So maybe I have to try it out sometime when I got more time to play around with it.
When I lower my antenna back down, actually flipping the beam to where it is horizontally oriented, and then I can do 2 meter single sideband, because I still got my vertical up on top of the mast that I can get into the repeaters with.
Now?
Beam right now. I'm at 15 watts.
So many different bands and modes and everything. It's kind of never ending. I set my older 757 up. I was kind of wanting to check out this radio. This is the 857. What it sounded like, so I just set it up with no antenna and put the earphones on it. And I was moving the antenna back and forth, and I realized this 757 on HF has such a greater sensitive, or more sensitive receive on it. I was hearing stations on it that I can't pick up on this little new radio I bought up a couple months ago.
21 a few months ago, didn't you?
57D.
I was thinking you got the 891. I don't know why.
So it's a 857D, and it did great. I mean, I was making contacts on 20 and 40, and then I put this other one back up now, and I just like this old Yaesu, and again, like I said, the receive is so much better on it. And I mean, if I hadn't put it up side by side, I wouldn't even have thought anything of it. But it does so good, and it's just a classic looking radio, and it sounds good. So I keep this on 2 meters, and then just use that one, you know, for the HF stuff.
I get it. Right now I'm on my 991A, but I do have I have another one of those Kenwood TMD710s. I've got two of those, and then I also have a 700.
Plenty there. Yep. And are those all VHF or VHF UHF? The other three.
Roger that. But then I have, if I want HF stuff, I've got a Icon 706 Mark 2G and a 7100.
set up and functional, or is that just you haven't gotten to that point yet?
No, I haven't gotten to that point. I'm having to tear my station completely back down, and I'm rearranging the room and having to do it little by little so that I don't lose all communications at one time for, you know, weeks.
It would be cool, though, to be able to compare, have the radios up and just compare and just see, you know, if one of them does better than the others.
Yeah, I'm just trying to redo everything. I got the cables pulled underground today. That was a big feat for me, and got all that run up, got the ditch dug and put in the ground last week, and got the cables pulled through today. So now I got to put a junction box out there, and from the junction box I'm going to try to get me some high flex wire or super flex to run in the house, so it's a little easier to handle than this LMR 400.
Bury those cables, or did you put a pipe in the ground to run them through?
I put a pipe in the ground to pull them through. I put 2-inch PVC down there in the ground.
Long term?
When and if I ever get to move, I'll pull them out and take them with me, because LMR 400 is not cheap.
Make it easier to get them out of the ground, that's for sure. Trying to pull them through the dirt again.
Last two weekends, take care of that project.
I know you're appreciative of that. I need to get my 2-meter antenna up. I built a J-pole. I don't have an analyzer that'll go up to 440. And, I mean, I know it'll work. I think the SWR might be a little high on it, but I'd like to check it, you know, to make sure. So I'm trying to decide if I want to put that up or just try to find a dual band or build another J-pole, a dual band. I saw some plans for it. So I don't know what I'm going to do. N4ZLK.
For HKX. I know there's so many options out there, it's hard to decide which way you want to go.
Across the room, the antenna I'm talking on is right in the corner on top of a chair. I know that's probably not the best long term, but, you know, it's a little further away than the antenna in my truck, but I have the metal body of the truck on top of me, between me and the antenna.
Shielding there. I mean, unless you're going to be on it long term, I don't guess it really is going to hurt too much.
I've got it down. I guess it's 5 watts. That's still a lot. I can sit here with my HT on, what, half a watt and still hit the repeater. But I left the HT in the bedroom. So, I just talk on this one.
Power as I can get and make it into the repeater where it sounds good. If I go down much lower than this, it gets scratchy.
Dave, talking about that your antenna, your beam is facing the opposite direction?
You are correct. Right now I'm talking to you on what I call the heel, which is where the reflector is at, and it's aimed at the repeater, not the driven end.
Get a better signal that way than turning it around, or is it the same?
I get a better signal the way it is right now. I'm receiving you 30 to 40 over 9.
Yeah, I heard him say something about there must be a lot of iron in that mountain that it's facing. Who knows? I know you can, you do get some, well, I know you can receive off the back end, but I'm sure some transmission goes out the back end.
Sure, I'm still trying to figure out that beam antenna stuff. It's on an aluminum pole, and it's mounted right up against the pole. People are telling me that that's not a good way to do it. It cuts your beam in half, because wherever the pole goes in between the elements, that's what causes the problem I'm having. I don't know. I've read articles about it, and it's just over my head, I guess.
N4DJC.
KO4HKX.
Hey, Jerry, N4ZLK.
Patrick and Shane, how's you guys doing? Patrick, I don't think it makes a whole heck of a lot of difference. I think as long as it's isolated somehow or another, I don't think it makes much difference. We had, you're going to have lobes. You know, when you got a YAG antenna, you got lobes going off both sides, to the edges, and in the back, too. And sometimes where the reflector is, you might get a little more going out the front of the beam than the back, but you still got a good bit going out the back. If not, it doesn't just go one direction. It goes multiple directions. If you get a Smith chart on them, you can see how some of them are. And of course, the more elements you have, the narrow the width is going to be. But you got a lot of gain going out the front and the back.
This antenna, where it's actually pointing at the repeater, I'm down around a S4, S5. But right now, like I said, I'm receiving y'all 30 to 40 over 9.
Can't even contribute on this part of it.
Hard to argue with success. Just take it as it is. Maybe, who knows what could be doing it. VHF, a lot of 2 meter sideband, with the horizontally polarized, all the ones I've ever seen like that, they were mounted metal to metal. So, I guess you just worry if it feeds the reflector, I suppose. And if it's the reflector is, just isolated somehow or another, I don't think it makes a lot of difference. I think the biggest one I've ever used, as far as the best number of elements, was like a 9 element. Mine was horizontally polarized, but I had it mounted on I was using like a TV rotor and just had it mounted on a metal mast. And I didn't notice any difference in it. It received and transmitted about as well in one direction. It did a little bit better in the front, but it's more about the antenna design probably than anything. I don't know whether that affects a lot or not, but I've read a lot of stuff about it, and sometimes it's just no rhyme or reason to it. You don't know why they work, but they work.
The isolation between this one is mounted right up against the pole.
That's your problem. Yeah, that's probably causing your issue right there. Not necessarily the metal pole, just the fact that it's not, you put a piece of rubber or something between it.
Well, like I said, that's what I've been told, and then I need to mount it off, a quarter wavelength or half wavelength away from the pole, since the pole conducts. I just can't find any hard do it this way.
That's what they claim, but I don't know that matters. But I know it does make a difference if it's mounted up directly on something conductive. It'll skew your radiation pattern, so you'll probably get more. Directivity, which is, I assume, what you're looking for, in a Yagi off the front, if you, just isolated from the pole, or just, I think on mine, I stuck on top of the metal pole, a piece of PVC, and a little short piece, and mounted it. Anyway, enjoying the conversation. KN4TCW, I'll shut up.
Off. Jump right in. We're all just here sharing stories and problems, I guess.
I don't know. I know what a beam's supposed to do, but I don't have any experience with them. N4ZLK.
So, the radiating element is just a halfway dipole with some type of aluminum or whatnot, and then the one behind it is the reflector, and then there's in front of it is directors, and there's the smallest ones. It's just focusing the beam of the, focusing your signal into more like a beam. It doesn't really give you more power or anything like that. It just focuses more of your signal into one spot.
Crush Can't even talk tonight. Crushcraft, what is it? 13 elements?